Good morning, everyone. I want you to look at the screen. There are some things that are going on with misinformation, and we want to make you aware of it so that you don't get caught into passing false items around. There was an email that was sent this week out to everybody, and the email was dated on January the 14th. And it said, no cots for National Guard soldiers. They're forced to sleep on marble floors. The whole point of the email was to try to make President Trump look bad. And it was partially true. There was a set of National Guard members that were in Washington, D.C., sleeping on the floor. But they were there for a break, and they were given hotel rooms. And at that particular point in time, they chose themselves to do it. It's not that they didn't have cots. They weren't provided a place to sleep. This is just what they were doing at the moment. So look at the picture here. And the picture that was in the email made it seem like the picture was taken on January 14th. But the picture was actually taken on June 7th, 2018. This is the level of deception that is going on right now. They have a media blackout. You can go to the next one. Against President Trump. They're not putting out any of the news that he once put out, any statement that he puts out. They're clipping the video. They're making it hard for you to see. If you go onto YouTube and do a basic YouTube search of breaking news for President Trump, if you look at these, they make sure that they have a picture. If you can scroll down, they have a picture of President Trump. And the majority of them do this to try to get you in to click on their video. Sometimes when you click on the video, there's nothing there for President Trump whatsoever. It's just a gimmick. It's just a trick to do that. Can you go to the end? The third thing that we wanted to talk about is things are being sent around on Facebook, and it's looking like it's today. This one here is dated January 15th. When you click it, when you click on it, it's you can click on that one there.
The president smiling, surrounded by his top military leaders and their spouses. Then came the unsolicited cryptic comment.
You guys know what this represents?
Well,
maybe it's the comedy for the storm.
Lester Stormy.
Could be the comedy for the storm.
So everyone knows that there's something that's about to happen in Washington, D.C. So this video has the reporter says President Trump made a cryptic statement saying this is the calm before the storm. So this Facebook post has been going around. But what many people don't know is that it's 3 years old. So when you look at the date of the original post, and it was October 2017. So we wanted to bring this all out to you so that you would know to be careful about what you're reading, making sure that you check out the sources and the dates of when things are out there, because people are misposting information and it's not true.
I just thought I would give you a little bit of information there so you wouldn't be believing everything that you're hearing. In fact, if I was you, I wouldn't listen to much of media at all, because there's nothing you can believe that's out there. So I don't think we need, our minds have to be full of Christ and not full of emptiness that the media is putting out there. I was laying on my bed, this is Sunday, Friday morning, and I heard you're going to see Roger Stone event starting to occur. And then I saw Roger Stone's house where the FBI ran on up on his house at 2 a.m. beating his door down and stripped him of everything. And I know what God's shown me. We're ready to see the arrests being made, start being made. I don't know when, but it should be really soon. God just gave me that statement. So we need to be on our toes. And then God also told me yesterday, I'll see if I can get this right. He said that the enemy is, we're looking at we're looking at President Trump and then and Biden back and forth, how things are going back and forth. And the enemy's keeping us distracted with that while he's stealing the things in the house of God. You know, people are so focused on that, they're not hearing God's voice. They're not doing the things that God is, we're not doing the things that God wants us to do. So if I was you, I would just get my eyes off of what the media is saying. Don't listen to what the reports are saying. If I was you, I would be listening for the voice of God. And that's the voice that I would listen to and believe, and not what man is saying. Wendy Alex sent out I think you all know her. She's from, what's that place that's down under? Australia. Isn't that where she's from, Australia? Someplace like that. She put out a video tape saying that President Trump's time's over and people are making a mistake and Joe Biden's on the scene so he can bring peace. God can use him to bring peace. And everything she said is totally against what he's doing right now, so we know that. That is, and I just hope somebody else didn't post that in her name. You know, it was sent to me. I forgot by who. But I'm just hoping it, because they would do that, you know, just they're trying to discredit the prophets right now. And we have to keep our eyes on God and not on man. Because God told me, he said, you can't believe anything that you're seeing right now. All right. Well, we have a guest who flew in from Texas to be with us this morning. Would you please stand up? He flew in from Texas this morning to be here. And he's believing for God to really do a great and mighty things for him today. You can sit down. We welcome you. And I'm ashamed I can't think of your husband's name. Merlin, we are so glad to see you. Been a long time. A long time. All right, God is still on the throne. This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I thought Brother Aaron did a very good job of making us rejoice and be glad in it this morning. Amen. And, you know, God's been saying that, and, you know, he's been telling me that the angels are rejoicing in heaven. And I read a prophetic word that they said that God showed them heaven and the angels are rejoicing and dancing. And God just said he's going to put the dance in our feet. I don't see us dancing yet. I guess I have put the firecracker in your shoe. But, you know, we need to be rejoicing. There's too much sorrow out there and darkness. And what we need to do is we need to be a light that's rejoicing, not a light that's walking around with their head in the sand, looking all gloomy and, you know, in doom and despair. We are God's chosen people. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, just like that song says, sometimes you cry. But you're not going to stay down. You're going to get up and keep on going. And if you're like me, every day the devil has a new tactic. He never runs out of tricks, does he? But God never runs out of power and authority either. And not now when I'm talking, but if you go home, read the word that God gave me to put in the bulletin this Sunday. It's so different than anything that he's ever given me to put in there. See, now you're all going to want to pick up your bulletins and read it. But he tells us to quit encrypting his words. And he was talking so fast that I went, encrypting, what's encrypting me? But anyhow, after he's all said and done and I looked, I saw, okay, I understand that now. I'm going to tell you right now, if you will walk really close to God, he's going to speak to you all the time. He's gotten so there isn't hardly any time he's not speaking to me. The day he was talking to me coming down the car, and I said, God, I don't have a recording to write this down. But, you know, he's just filling us full of himself, full of revelation knowledge, and he wants us to be the head and not the tail. And I'm tired of being the tail. I'm tired of second best. I want the very best that God has for us, and I'm the head. And that's what you need to tell the enemy every day when he comes your way. I am the head, you're the tail, so get down so I can stomp on you, right? Don't allow him to wrap himself around about you. Tell him to leave. It's a daily thing. Father, I just thank you for all who came out this morning to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, right now I'm asking for a special blessing for the young man who came in from Texas. I want every one of his desires met this day, Father. And Father God, I thank you for Merlin, who we haven't seen for a long time, even though we've been praying for him, and thank you for keeping him safe. And Father God, for all the others that came in here this morning with expectation that you're going to give them fresh manna and do great and mighty works for them. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host, all the witnesses who have gone before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be walking in the Spirit. And when I look at you, I can tell you're not walking in the Spirit. I don't care what you try to convince yourself of. But I know what it looks like when somebody's walking in the Spirit. I know you want to and you're trying to, but you haven't made it yet. I'm being honest with you. If you're walking in the Spirit, your speech would be a little bit different. And the way you hold yourself would be a little bit different. And so I'm just warning you that, you know, God told us we had to be walking in the Spirit if we were going to survive this end times thing that we're going through. So I'm just telling you that if I was you, I would get before God and say, God, I want to know nobody but you. I want to be walking totally and completely in the Spirit 24/7, just not every now and then. All right. Whenever you prophesy, I can tell whether or not you're in the Spirit. I can tell by the way you talk. I can tell by the way you hold yourself. You know, Spirit is calling unto Spirit. And we need to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God because he really wants to reveal mighty secrets to us right now. And he wants to lift us up higher than we've ever been lifted before. All right, this morning, this is all God, all right? It's a prophetic word from God. And I titled it, Lean Not to Your Own Understanding. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to do what? Lean to your own understanding. Is that not right? All right, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, I'm just hearing God say, if you're going to be a teacher, you know, teach others, you're going to have to be walking in the Spirit. There's something in my life right now, and I said to Teresa, I said, there's just something not right. It's a person. God isn't telling me, and I haven't put my finger on it, but when I'm around him, there's just something not right. That's walking in the Spirit. You don't take anything for granted. And I said, God, you've got to show me what it is that's not right here, that just not, you know, gelling with my spirit. And that's the way each one of you should be. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll know when you're around somebody that's trying to maybe play a little trick on you, you know, or whatever. But there's something quite not right. All right? Come on, guys. You're grown-ups, right? You're warriors, right? You're not on the milk any longer, right? So the truth will set you free, right? Or we're going to be set free this morning, aren't we? You went like that, and God said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my whip out and whip everybody into shape. All right, this is God. My children, how many ways can I say, lean not to your own understanding? You need to totally lean upon me at this given time of total chaos upon the land. Do you really know why this dark chaos is prevailing at such a time as this? Do you totally understand that it has to be this way? You say, but why? I say, did you heed my word? Did you heed my prophets? Did you heed the warning signs all around about you? The answer is no. You went on with life as if heaven does not exist. Do you understand that I had to do something to stop you from sliding totally into the abyss? Children, you were headed to the valley of no return, and I had to get your attention. That's why everything that's going on in the world today is going on. The church failed, and they faltered really hard. And God had to get the church's attention. This is not about election. What's going on is all about church. It's all about the devil trying to shut our mouths, close us down, so he can rule and reign on this earth. So if you think this is all about the election, it is not. God will go to any length to get your attention. Any length. Because when you stand before him on judgment day, you will not be able to say, God, I didn't know. Because that would be a lie. You do know. You're choosing not to know. God said, I tried everything before I went to this length. America is sliding into the deepest depths of depravity of soul, and there was absolutely nothing I said or how much grace, love, and long-suffering I shed upon you that would get your attention to stop this slippery slide into the abyss. Let's read that again. God said, I tried everything before I went to this length. America is sliding into the deepest depths of depravity of soul, and there was absolutely nothing I said or how much grace, love, and long-suffering I shed upon you that would get your attention to stop this slippery slide into the abyss. Now, the church is under fire more than ever. I spoke through my prophet and said the same persecution going on overseas would be on American soil. But even that you ignored, and now it is here. Now you are a partaker of the enemy's vengeance upon my chosen ones. We ignored the warnings of God, and now we have to suffer. We are reaping what we sowed. God said, I called you into the secret place. I called you into the third heaven, and I called you to sink yourself into me so the enemy could not find you. But lo and behold, how many heeded my voice. How many took me serious. There are prophets out there who sit and cry as they watch the body of Christ slip away from the truth and into the deep embedded lie of the enemy. There are prophets out there who sit and cry as they watch the body of Christ slip away from their truth into the deep embedded lie of the enemy. And I'm one of those prophets. I sit in my office and I cry out to God. And I sit there crying. I say, God, why won't they listen? Why won't they change? Why do they keep desiring the things that are not of you? I mean, I really do. You just don't understand where you're taking yourself to. God said, you keep looking at circumstances when over and over again I have said, take your eyes off the circumstances and place them upon me. Before all this ends, I tell you a truth, little ones. This United States will know there is a God of truth and a God of love and a God of vengeance. My word tells you that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In Romans 12, 19 and 20 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. He said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He didn't say your wife or your husband or your kids. He said your enemy. No matter what they've done to you, God said, vengeance is mine. God is going to repay them for what they've done wrong to you. This is another thing that's wrong with the United States of America. Everybody thinks they have to go out there and, all right, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you twice as bad as you hurt me. And that is not godly. The body of Christ does that. I see it in marriages. Yeah, this is not God. We are not portraying God in any area of our lives. God says, children, my word is yes and amen. My word is truth personified. Why is the truth so obnoxious to you? Why is the lie so pleasing to your ears? These are questions you must ask yourself over and over again until truth is foremost in your hearts. So what did he say? Children, my word is yes and amen. My word is truth personified. Why is the truth so obnoxious to you? Why is the lie so pleasing to your ears? You ask yourself that because I know that's going on. These are questions you must ask yourself over and over again until truth is foremost in your hearts. God said, I have raised up I have raised up a mighty army of warriors, and I have begun to send them forth to accomplish what I need accomplished on this planet Earth. My word tells you narrow is the path to life, and few, very few find it. So he's raised up what? An army of warriors that he's sending forth. Are you one of those warriors? Are you part of that army? I hope so. I really do hope so. Because if not, you're going to be left standing in the dust. You're going to be fought over and over and over again by the enemy. He does not want you to go forth. He wants you to stay stuck in the hole that you're in, because if he allows you to go forth, you're going to destroy his kingdom. Think about what your kids. If you know somebody's going to shoot your kids, you're not going to stand and let them shoot your kids. You're going to fight them. And this is the same thing the enemy's doing to you. So why do you get so distressed? You know, what is your problem that you can't tell the enemy what to do and stand your ground and see victory on all sides? You need to ask yourself these questions. All right, Matthew 7:13-14 says, Jesus says, you can enter true life only through the narrow gate. The gate to hell is very wide, and there is plenty of room on the road that leads there. Many people go that way. Many people are going to hell is what that's saying. But the gate that opens the way to true life is narrow, you know, the gate to heaven. And the road that leads people there is hard to follow. Only a few people find it. You see this? You guys in here that you're pastors or evangelists, whatever you are, leaders, you need to be telling people this. You need to be telling them the truth. Because if you don't tell them the truth, one day you're going to stand before the Father and he's going to judge you for all the souls that went to hell. Their blood is going to be in your hands. You know, if you're trying to be a well-liked personality, you're not going to make it in the kingdom of heaven. You're just not. And people aren't going to like you when you tell the truth. Did you hear that? Why do you think they hate President Trump so mad? He tells the truth. Why do you think a lot of people want Biden? He tells the lie. God says, children, I plead with you this day. Change your course and walk the path I have laid out before you. Read that again. Get in your spirit. Children, I plead with you this day. Change your course and walk the path I have laid out before you. Time is so short and much work to be accomplished before the second coming of my son, Jesus Christ. You all know that this dispensation of time, that we are paving the way for the second coming of Jesus. Do you not? You know, this is the end times and we are paving the way. The remnant churches, God is bringing them to the forefront now because we've been paving a way for this time, for such a time as this is what I'm hearing God say. And you are a leader that God needs to stay firm and steadfast in your walk with him. You can't one day love God, the next day not love God. You have to be steadfast and firm. That's the only way you're going to be a true leader. I was coming to the church this morning, like I said, and God was talking to me, and he said, daughter, he said, this year, 2021 is going to be a year that everybody will remember forever throughout history. He said, there's so many things going to be happening in 2021. He said, but there's going to be bad, there's going to be good. He said, but if you stay the course with me, you will eat the good of the land. He said, you will enter into the good that's going to be going on. And he said, great signs, wonders, and miracles were going to be occurring this year, starting this year. You guys, do you understand what a great time we're headed in for? You know, it's not going to be just sitting around just normal, you know, everyday stuff. It's going to be supernatural stuff. And we're not even going to understand half the time what's going on. But if we're yielded to God, really yielded to God, and saying, God, use me as a vessel of honor, God's going to be using you in a mighty way. But see, you have to be walking with God the right way, too. You just can't be in and out. Solid every day, no matter what you have to endure, walk with God. All right? Come on. Some of you right now, I'm hearing God say, are going through such great trials and tribulations, you think you can't make it. But he said, you can make this, but only through him, only as you hold his hand and walk with him, can you make this. So see, you have to determine this morning, am I going to make this or am I not? I can't determine that for you. And you're going to have to be a strong warrior that can stand the truth. You know, and when God will tell you when you're going off the course, and you can't get mad at the messenger. Are you understanding this? You're, one day you're going to find out what it's like for everybody to be mad at you, and it's not you that's saying it, it's God. So anyhow, God said, children, I plead with you this day, change your course and walk the path I have laid out before you. Time is so short and much work to be accomplished before the second coming of my son, Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. This is where we're at, church. Jesus is coming soon. God's telling me, he says that Satan is wreaking havoc like never before because he knows his time is short. He said, but my people get so disgruntled and they get discouraged. And instead of walking forward, they go backward into a heap. And then the enemy has them caught in the snare once again. Children, you have to be strong in me. You have to have conviction within you that you know who you are in me, and you will walk that path no matter what you have to encounter. We just can't go around like normal everyday life. How many of you can honestly say your life is not normal anymore? You know, you never know from one day to the next what's going to happen. You just say, here I am, God, a new day. You be with me. Right? Give me words to speak. Be in my feet and take me where you want me to go. 1 Corinthians 7:29 that we're at. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have not none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. In other words, everyday life is not going to be everyday life anymore. It's going to be different. The atmosphere is going to change quickly. You know, one minute it'll be one way, next minute it'll be another way. And if you're really walking in the spirit, you are already witnessing that the atmosphere changes over you very quickly. And we have to be so in the spirit that we can change quickly also. We have to be ready for God to speak to us, and we have to be ready to be used instantly. And God told me yesterday, he says, whenever you try to minister to somebody, he says, make them listen to the word. Don't allow them to make you listen to them. He says, you're supposed to be saving souls, not just sitting around letting them do what they want to do. It's time, church, that we stand up for what is right and don't allow the souls to go to hell. God said, I need you, little ones. I need you as vessels of honor that I can count on to do the perfect works of light. He calls us light in his word, right? So he said, I need you, little ones. I need you as vessels of honor that I can count on to do the perfect works of light. I need you to be strong and violent in me. Why? So that when the storms strike, you will not turn and run. You have to be strong in God. So that when the storm strike, you will not turn and run. You will stand your ground and you will be a witness unto me in Zion. Are you listening here? Too many people, when the storm comes, they forget who God is. They forget all about what their commitment is to God. And they don't turn and run. They just sit down and shut up. Same thing as turning around and running. I know God tells us to be still. But you're taking that out of context too. Come on. There's a time to stand up for what is right in the sight of God. In body of Christ, it is time. You are not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Isn't that what the word says? So why are you acting like the world then? Serious stuff this morning. God is going deep. I'm sorry, God is going deep and he is shaking like he's never shaken before, where are you going to end up when the shaking stops? You have to ask yourself that question. God, am I right standing with you? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing? Because I don't want to be left out. God said, you need to take a second breath and you need to follow me with all of your hearts. You need to understand that I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and I lie not. God never lies. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You know, the problem with y'all, you don't listen to God. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just do like I used to do, sitting out there, and I know I'm in right standing with God, you know, and I didn't get all upset when the pastor said something. But anyhow, somebody has really done me wrong, and they have a need. And God said, wouldn't you love to bless them? And I'm having a financial bond, mess right now because there's many things going wrong in the house. And God said, wouldn't you really like to bless them? I said, what do you want me to do, God? And they need an item. He said, buy it. I'll take care of you. Are you at that place? And I told him, I said, I'll get it for you. Go and see what you want. They're responsible, but you can't afford it. I said, but God can, and he told me to bless you. So go pick it out. Are you there? Are you there at the place where God could say that to you, and this person has really persecuted you, and big God said, bless them. And I'm not going to do it begrudgingly, because I hate that when you do something for me, then you remind me of it all the time. I'm just going to bless and go on. Are you there? If you're not, then God can't use you. Simple as that. Love is your foundation. You know, when I was talking to that person, God put such love in me for that person, I just wanted to hug and hug them. Love is the foundation. And if you can't do that, then your love walk's not right. Just isn't. That's the truth. Truth hurts. Why do you think God dealt with us for about a year about our love walk? It was because our love walk was not right. And we have to have a solid love walk right now if we're going to make it. What's the word of God say when you stand before him? He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I do not know you. But I prophesied in your name and I performed miracles in your name, but you didn't have love. Right? I hate to see a husband or wife be mean to their husband or wife. I really do. I mean, who do you think you are, you self-righteous person, you? You're supposed to love your mate. Not at criticizing and damn them and put them down. You're supposed to pray for them. Are you understanding this? And if you have the right love walk, you'll do that. You will pray for them. And you won't abuse or misuse them. You will pray for them. You know, and I'm not perfect. And I, you know, my husband's dead, of course. But, you know, other things happen in my life with people that are around about me and I love. But I go sometimes to my office and, you know, I'm like that guy in the song. Sometimes I fall. And so I sat there and I talked to God about it until God and I get it all right. And then I go on about my business. I don't pretend that I'm perfect. And I know I make mistakes. But I sure rectify them real quick because I don't want to go to hell. 1 second of being out of love walk could take me to hell. That would be the day that the devil would take me out. Are you understanding this? Come on. I lost my place. All right. God said, you must have total trust in me and me alone. You cannot trust in mammon. The world will leave you, little ones. But my word tells you that I stick closer than a brother. And Proverbs 18:24 said, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that is Jesus. God says, turn, little ones, and follow me with all of your hearts and quit leaning on your own understanding. You will never be able to understand my ways. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You will never be able to understand my ways, and you definitely don't know which way to turn. Say amen again.
Amen.
Thank you. Your understanding is so far beneath my ways. And Isaiah, that's true. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Come on, you can't outthink God. You're not God. I don't care how much you think you are. You are not God. You cannot outthink God. And if you're going to do anything in life and you're professing to be a child of God, you better put God in the center of everything that you do and make sure he wants you to do it, or you're going to end up in a whole lot of trouble. God said, all you have to do is just trust. Then he says, why is that so hard? What is there that you need so desperately that you cannot yield yourself to the calling that I have upon your life? Do you not see what the enemy is doing to not only your life, but also to the lives around about you? And no, you don't see that, because I see you hurting other people around about you, and it's not godly. God said, are you so heartless and selfish that you do not care about the lost souls? Did not someone come and minister salvation to you? Did I not bless and not curse you? My word tells you, freely you have received, now freely give. And Matthew 10:6-8 says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So many people want to be so self-righteous, and God does something great to them, they heap it upon themselves and don't share with anybody. They don't freely give any of God's word to anybody. They don't freely go and pray for people where they'll be healed. They heap it upon themselves. Wrong. You don't do that. God said, my son paid the ultimate price so the world would be free and one day set in heavenly places. He shed his blood in the water for all, and I put parentheses around all, just not for you, but for everybody, not just for a chosen few. My son came to set the sinner free. He did not come for the church. Isn't that what the word says? He just said it there. The church already had me. The world had no one. The world has no one. And that's why they're biting and devouring each other. But then the house of God is doing the same thing. You can't tell the difference between the church and the world. In most churches, you really can't. And this is no exception. This church is no exception. We should be so not like the world that it would draw people unto Christ. But when they get in your presence, you're just like the world. You do everything that the world does. And that's not godly. We need to stop that. Then God goes on to say, now it is your time to bring the harvest of lost souls in. It is time for you to die to self, so a lost and dying world will know the love of the Father as you do. And it is you I am speaking to this day. See, you were sitting there and thinking to yourself, he's talking to my husband. No, he's talking to you. Come on. What did he say? It's you that I'm talking to this day. It is you that I say to, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 5:9 said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You are not supposed to be out there making more strife. You are not even in your home or in the world or in the church. You should be making peace wherever you go. Sometimes making peace means you tear everything apart and start new. Sometimes you just have to clean house and start new. I used to think, well, if I just don't say anything, it'll go away. No, the mountain kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger till I couldn't remove the mountain. Then when I started removing the mountain, it was a mess. I got it dwindled down to an anthill right now. But it took years to undo what I just swept under the carpet because I thought I had to keep peace. And really, if I would have spoke out at the time I should have, I would have had peace. And I'm not the only one that's done that, so let's don't look at me like, oh, I can't believe her. Come on. God said, I have sent you forth as peacemakers to the lost, dying, and confused. Children, what is so terrible about that? Why are you so double-minded? You had me all the days of your life. I led you by the still waters, and I fed you fresh manna from heavenly places. I never left nor forsook you. I was always just a whisper away. The lost don't have anybody. They don't know the whisper. God says, my angelic army was always there for you, and they protected you from harm over and over again. You see, the world has nothing, but you have everything. You have heavenly help at your beck and call continually. Children, be selfish no longer. Spread my love, grace, and joy to all you meet. Some of you, I like to have something bop you in the head. You sit in here and you smile at what I'm saying. You agree with but you know you haven't changed a lick. And you're not helping nobody but yourself. You don't want to be inconvenienced. Aren't I telling the truth, Marlon? That's the truth. Yes, say yes. Just agree with me. And you'll stay in good standing. Come on, but you really haven't changed. You just have the outward appearance, but God lets me see your insides too. It's time that we change. He says, you see, the world has nothing, but you have everything, and you really do. You have heavenly help at your beck and call continually. Children, be selfish no longer. Spread my love, grace, and joy to all that you meet. Why do you think the enemy is attacking you? He does not want to lose any more souls. He wants to keep the lost in darkness. The borders of hell are enlarged every day to receive the lost and dying. Children, stop this enlargement of the walls. Stop this unnecessary persecution of the lost. Step up to the plate and be the vessels of honor I can work through. In Isaiah 5:14, therefore, Sheol, which is hell, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. God never meant hell for any of us. It was made for Satan and his angels, but guess who's down there? The church, the religious bunch, and, you know, by the grace of God, we could be there. You know, don't ever say, I won't do, because you don't know what you're going to do. Just thank God you're not walking in that person's shoes. Thank God that God has you covered. And thank God that you have enough sense to stay covered. Right? God went on to say, this is the most important time in church history. This is the great harvest that my word speaks about. This is the greater works time. The church is entering into a time in church history that many that have gone before so desired to witness. Be a partaker of the great salvations all over the world. Take inventory of where you are at right now, little ones. Are you standing in the light, or are you still in a valley of decision? We're going to say that again. Pay close attention. Take inventory of where you're at right now, little ones. Are you standing in the light, or are you still in the valley of decision? Are you ready to die to self? Are you ready to lay down the sins that so easily beset you? You cannot work for God if you're still wallowing in sin. You just can't. God can't use you. Quit fooling yourself that you're going to go to heaven when you know that you know that you know that you're still steeped in sin. Aren't you so glad you came out this morning? God said, church, there is so much selfishness in the houses of God. We can say amen to that, can't we? There is so much procrastination in the house. Why? That is a question many are asking. I say, look around about you and see what is happening. And then decide, am I one of the selfish ones, or is my light shining to the degree that souls are being brought into the house daily? Are you thinking about this? God goes on to say, have I not called you to be lights? Have I not called you to love the unlovable? Have I not said, I will be with you to lead, guide, and direct you? God says, I have not lied. I have spoken the truth daily. Quit waiting for the other guys to step up to the plate. You be the leader and watch others follow. Well, God didn't call me to do that. Yes, he did. He called everybody to win the lost. Well, that's not my job. That's Gabriel's job. No, that's your job. You know, I was sitting before the Lord the other day, and Chris does an awful lot for the church behind the scenes. I mean, an awful lot. And I said, God, I'm the pastor, but he does all the work. He says, you have another job to do, and that's his job. He said, your job is to stay before me and to hear my voice of instruction to give to my people. But I still stay in the loop. I still make the decisions. Are you understanding this? I could say, oh, well, I'm just supposed to sit here and pray all day and let Christopher just do his thing. No, that's not the truth. God said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And then he says, follow me. How many of you are following God? Truly following God? How many are you listening to for God's voice? All right, so this is all God. He said, and he prophesied this all to me. This is what he wanted you to know. This is nothing that I didn't put anything in here except scriptures. How many of you sit down and let God dictate your sermons? Well, I got to teach him something. I'm going to teach you something tonight. No, you have to give the body of Christ what God wants them to hear. This is a very good message, really. You need to quit leaning on your own understanding. You need to start doing what God's telling you to do and only what God's telling you to do, and quit trying to do what you want to do. I tried to tell that to somebody, and they said, well, it's a good thing, so I don't see why God's upset. A lot of things happen to that person. I don't care if it is a good thing. It's not a God thing. There's a lot of good things you can do, but is it a God thing? In other words, is it what God's asking you to do? You know, when we first started, we used to do street ministry. And I love street ministry, because I don't want you doing street ministry. So no matter how much I personally want to do street ministry, God said, I don't want you out there doing street ministry. So I can't go out there and do street ministry. But I'm not going to, because then I'd be out of God's will. Are you understanding this morning? There's just too much, well, like God's, I just hear procrastination in the body of Christ. And, you know, really, truly what you're doing is you're just trying to make excuses why you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Lean not to your own understanding. What's coming down the road, guys, you're going to need God's understanding, not your own. Because you're not going to be able to handle what's coming down the road unless God is in it. And God is going to send angels to assist you and to fight your battles for you. He just is. And you guys that are up in Baltimore, you know, God wants you to do a perfect work, but how many devils came against you to pull you away from the work God's called you to do? Right? And we have to get you back on the road again. Don't allow anybody to pull you out of God's will. It's harder to get back into God's will than it is to get out of it. Because once you're out of it, then the enemy's going to be on you like you wouldn't believe, trying to keep you bound into what he wants you to do. Did you learn anything at all this morning? All right, then. All of you who want to be the light that leads, can come to the altar, and God has a special anointing for you, and you're not going to no longer lean to your own understanding when he's through with you this morning, but you're going to know that you know that you know what God is telling you to do. And there, I'm hearing him say there'd be no more procrastination, because your light is going to shine so bright that it's going to dispel all the darkness around about you.